Hello and welcome back to the Daily Study of the Way of Mastery. I'm Jason Amoroso, your guide and friend. And before we dive in today, I just want to share a new thing that I've been up to. I have started to take the podcasts and put them on YouTube. I take a generic image that I created and then just have the audio associated with it so people can find the podcast and discover the Way of Mastery through another avenue on YouTube. If you want to follow me, the channel is The Way of Mastery, and I think you can probably search my name as well. And yeah, I think we have about 6 or 7 episodes. I'm adding one new one a day starting from the very beginning. So that's just another way if you want to share that with people as well. All right, let's dive in back into lesson 13. You are unlimited spirit. You are unlimited spirit. You're not a body mind. You're not limited in any way. And we are exploring and diving into section 4 of this lesson, which is titled, Only You Have the Power to Create Your Experience. Only you have the power to create your experience. And Jeshua begins, listen carefully. No one has the power to create your experience. No one has the power to limit your experience. And nowhere in the laws of God has it ever been written that you must conform your experience to the choices of another. You remain free to freely choose to be the embodiment of Christ. You are the one who can bless creation. It begins when you are willing to assume responsibility for what you want to use time for. First paragraph, not mincing words, right to it. Listen carefully. No one has the power to create your experience. Let's take a moment and look at this. Be honest with yourself. Sometimes we don't want to be honest. We don't want to look at what we've created, because either we're ashamed or we're embarrassed or we think it means something about us. Remember, even Jeshua says what pebbles you drop, you experience the effects of those pebbles, but you're not a victim even to the experience of those pebbles, because in any moment you can drop a new pebble. So it's not like, oh, I dropped this pebble, now I have to just, I'm a victim to it and I got to have it play out on me. Karma. No, at any moment, behold, I make all things new. Right now, you can drop a new pebble of forgiveness, of love, of whatever it is that your heart is desiring. So no one has the power to create your experience. Let's take a moment. Right now, who are you giving this power away to? Who are you saying, well, that person is creating my experience? Where that event is creating my experience. Right now, in world events, I don't know whenever somebody's going to be listening to this, but just the other day, Iran, had drones shoot 300 missiles or something at Israel. No one has the power to create your experience because all events are neutral. So many different people all over the world have different reactions and responses to this event that took place. But what we do is we blame the event. Well, look at this happening. Or look at what my boss said. Or look at what the government's doing. Or look at what I'm seeing on social media. Or look at what my spouse did. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe my in-laws said that. I can't believe my kid is doing this, or whatever it is. I can't believe this celebrity is saying this and endorsing this. Whatever the this is, it doesn't even matter. We live in a world of like outrage and upset and trigger and justification and justice and vengeance. We don't even see it. That for most of us, we just, when we wake up in the morning, we're in reactivity mode because we've made the movie screen real. And that's the trick of the ego. Don't look inside, because then you'll see. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Once you look behind the curtain, you see it's some, you know, old feeble man creating these big effects. You're not afraid anymore. But if you're so convinced and so focused on the outside of you, the people, the places, the events, you're terrified because you think that's real. When your experience is just an outpicturing of what you are holding inside, it's your power to create your experience. Do you want to take dominion over it? Or do you want to pretend that you're not having dominion over it and place it on things out there? So just look at your life. Who are you feeling victimized by? Anytime you say or think or feel, I'm upset because, and whatever you put after the because, I'm upset because the traffic. I'm upset because the politicians. I'm upset because I'm not getting enough sex with my partner. I'm upset because my teenager isn't listening to me. I'm upset because I think I'm 10 pounds overweight. Whatever the because is, you're pretending to give your power away to that thing so that you feel a certain way. This is radical ownership, extreme ownership, radical responsibility. And we can't hear this enough, this is the good news. The victim part of us uses it, oh, well, why am I doing this to myself? What's wrong with me? But this is the good news. If I created this, then either I can uncreate it, but really I can create something new instead of this. But we live in a world right now that so acknowledges and rewards victim mindset, victim perception. It's not my fault, it's their fault. It's not my fault, it's the system. It's not my fault, it's this, it's that. It's all these other things except for my own power to create and choose my experience. No one has the power to limit your experience. No one. But yet we let dead people have the power to limit our experience. Well, my father in real life didn't abuse me. I'm using this, I make up examples because I'm trying to make it relatable to everybody, but I don't know what everyone's gone through. So I just try and make up examples. Of course, you have to apply this to your own life. Well, my father sexually abused me when I was little, and now he died, and I'm still experiencing, you know, the trauma of that. And now because of that, I can't do this and I can't get close to anybody. And all these reasons why my life is bad because of what my father did to me as a little kid. Now he's dead. But look at what I'm doing. I'm still giving him the power to create my experience. But it's my power that I'm giving away to him, but I'm not really. It's still me doing it to myself. I'm just blaming him. And nowhere in the laws of God has it ever been written that you must conform your experience to the choices of another. That's what Jeshua said yesterday. What someone else chooses, what someone else does not influence your choice at all, even when it seems like it. We have to have the strength and the courage to see through it. Well, look what they're doing. They're not only are they doing something that I think is bad, they're doing it to me. This is an injustice. This isn't fair. But it doesn't influence your choice of how you want to choose to receive it. Look at Jeshua again. He had every right to play the victim. Every right. I'm wrongly imprisoned. I'm being wrongly murdered. I'm being all these things that they're doing to me. And yet I'm allowing it because I'm not resisting it. I'm not making it real. It has no effect upon who and what I really truly am. And am I going to put my money where my mouth is, or am I not? Am I going to truly believe and own and step into who and what I am, or am I not, just to save my skin? To keep this body alive, which I know is not me anyway. This was the ultimate, this was his final test in human form that he asked for, that he wanted, because it allowed him to demonstrate for himself and the gift to everyone else of what we really are. I think back often to the passage, I don't remember which lesson it was, maybe it was 9 or 4 or whatever, where he's like, I think it's in the desire. So I think that's like lesson 4 where he talks about desire is everything. And I desire to create a demonstration that was so undeniable that anyone who looked at it couldn't ignore what it was. The demonstration that you're not a body. You're not in survival mode. You are love made manifest. You are a consciousness. You're a wave in the ocean of love, infinite intelligence, infinite power, infinite eternality, infinite creative potential, no limits. So where are you allowing another or an experience, an event, to create your experience? And on some level, you must want that experience, otherwise you wouldn't be having it. But you've forgotten this. That's why it's not conscious. You've forgotten this. But we are bringing the subconscious into the conscious, the unconscious into the conscious by making different choices. And that's what Yeshua says. You remain free. Always. You could not be imprisoned. You could not be limited in any way because of what you are. You remain free to freely choose to be the embodiment of Christ. There's not a single thing, person, event that could prevent you from choosing to embody Christ, love, forgiveness, kindness. No matter what's happening, even if it seems like it's happening to you. Now, there's so many examples in the world that are the most inspiring. The saints, the people who've gone through incredible hardship and kept their heart open. The Viktor Frankl, the person in the book of The Gentle Gift of Blessings, where he says, I saw my whole family got shot right in front of me by the Nazis, and in that moment I decided to love them, the people who shot and murdered my wife and kids right in front of me. I begged them to kill me too. They wouldn't. They needed me as a translator. And in that moment I decided to love, no matter what the cost was, because anger was too great of a burden to bear. I mean, there's no excuses for us if that man can do that, if other people have done what they've done. And it's ultimately what our heart yearns for, to be the full expression. But we cling to survival mode. We cling to this limited identity of the body-mind. We all fall into the trap. We all fall asleep. But we're being woken up. And our daily life, you don't have to have those extreme circumstances in your life. You do not. Yeshua's never said that. You don't need to cure cancer. You don't need to go into war-torn countries and try and save anyone. You don't have to do anything. Your daily life is your ashram. Use time wisely. And that's what he says in the last part of this paragraph. You are the one who can bless creation. Who are you waiting for to be bless creation? You know, there's a great song that we play. It's kind of cheesy, but I love it. It's a great song called Start a Wave by Cody Fry. And we play it at the end of our group sessions in the Living the Way Mastery year-long program. And the idea is start a wave. It's like the same thing as drop a pebble. Like, who are you waiting for? Somebody's got to start the wave of love. Are you going to wait for someone else? Are you going to wait for me to start the wave of love, or Yeshua, or some other leader, some other person? Are you going to wait for your neighbor to start the wave of love? Or are you going to be the wave? Because that's what you are. Are you going to be the one? Or are you going to be waiting for your whole life? You are the one who can bless creation. It begins when you are willing to assume complete responsibility for what you want to use time for. Time is here to be used. You can waste as much time as you want. Because ultimately, you're not going anywhere. You're not missing. You're missing out on something. But all of creation is still happening, whether or not you want to experience that part of it. What do you want to use your time for? The next paragraph, Yeshua says, in truth, you're doing it anyway. You're always using time for exactly what you are choosing. You are not surviving. You are not trying to get things done that the world is requiring. Never is anything occurring except that you are having awareness of the effects of how you are choosing to use consciousness. And that is all. Stop thinking of yourself as a body mind, as a body, as a person, as like this separate thing that needs to get things done to survive. That's not what is really happening. You want to wake up. What is that? The red pill, blue pill in the matrix? I think the red pill is the one that wakes you up. Start seeing yourself, the book, As a Man Thinketh. You will experience what you think. But not for the purpose of making your worldly life more comfortable. That's where so many people fall into the trap of manifestation. I want to manifest more money. I want to manifest a bigger house. I want to manifest a different environment. I want to manifest my soulmate so that I can get the things I think I lack. That's what's really running underneath. And so these manifestation companies and gurus and all these people, they sell like crazy. They make so much money because really what they're selling is lack. And people who are feeling lack are buying them to make themselves not feel lack anymore. And what if you're underneath all of it, you're feeling lack, what are you going to create? More lack. And they buy these programs to manifest all their wealth and their happiness and all these things, but they're buying it from lack. So what do they get when they start doing the things in the course? More lack. This doesn't work. This doesn't work for me. Maybe it's a different formula or guru or thing. And they just keep spending money trying to get something that they believe inherently they don't have, but they're dying for. Can you relate? I've done that. Have you ever done that? In truth, you're doing it anyway. You're using the power of your consciousness to create your experience, whether you realize it or not. Whether you're giving away to somebody else, you can only do that if you have the power in the first place, and you can never lose the power. You're always using time for exactly what you are choosing. You want to know what you're choosing? Just look at your life. Now, I know it. I've heard this before, and my ego rages against this. Screw you. Why the hell would I ever want poverty? Why the hell would I ever want stress? Why the hell would I ever want disease? Why the hell would I ever want hardship? So don't tell me that I'm choosing this. That's the ego part of us. That's the victim part of us fighting against what is. You couldn't experience something unless on some level you're choosing it. And you are so much more than the level of your personality, little ego self. And until we take responsibility, until you, me, whoever, the individual takes responsibility, that on some level, I may not realize it, but I chose this. That's a powerful statement. Not to shame myself. Oh, I chose this. I'm a bad person. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. No, that's again more bullshit ego. But on some level, maybe I'm not aware of it. How much stuff do we do that we're not really aware of? So why can't we admit on some level, I might not be aware that on some level I'm asking for this. I chose this. And actually, when we acknowledge that that's possible and then we get curious about it, oh my God, so much awareness can pop in. Like, hey, I may not like this. I may not even think I've wanted it or chosen it, but let's just pretend. What if I did? On some level, why might I have chosen for my company to go bankrupt? Why might I have chosen this experience? Well, maybe I'm afraid of success. Maybe I sabotage this because I'm afraid of what it means if I'm more successful than my parents, or what it means that, you know, I have a lot of money, or what if it means that I'm successful? Am I worthy? Oh my God, no, I'm not worthy. Let me sabotage this before things get too real, right? When we get curious and we look innocently, we get a lot of information that we don't see when we're running on autopilot, when we're running just programs. So you're always using time for exactly what you are choosing. You are not surviving. Why are you not surviving? Because you can't die. If you knew you were immortal, would you say, oh, I'm trying to survive? Of course not. That's ridiculous. But when we're so identified with the body mind, I got to eat food, I got to drink water, I got to breathe air, I got to stay safe, keep this meat suit intact. And I'm not saying shit on it and like treat yourself like crap and just jump in front of a train or just like not take care of yourself. That's not loving either. But it's also just acknowledging the truth that is true always. You're a consciousness, your awareness itself, projecting itself into an experience. So you're not surviving because you are eternal. Bashar talks about, it's great. He talks about like existence. Like by definition, if you exist, you exist. You can't not exist if you exist. The energy can neither be created nor destroyed. If you exist forever. You're eternal. It's outside of time. Our brain can't really comprehend eternity, timelessness, and that's okay. But we're still being given the truth. Jeshua's not going to placate to what we can understand. He's going to meet us where we're at, but he's also telling us the truth so we can expand what we believe and what we know or what we think we know. And thank God for that. you're not surviving. You are not trying to get things done that the world is requiring. And of course, your brain says, well, yes, I am. I've got things, important things to do. Kids need to be driven to school and sports practice and bills need to be paid. That's what I'm doing. And Jeshua's saying, no, you're not trying to get things done that the world is requiring. That's not really happening. Never is anything occurring except that you're having an awareness. So really, nothing is occurring except awareness. That's it all the time, right? Isn't that the observer? You know, that's one of the goals, or not the goals, but one of the benefits of meditation. You realize, oh, you start to observe this crazy nonstop thinking. You're like, well, I'm not the thoughts. I'm the observer of the thoughts. I'm experiencing all these thoughts coming in. I'm consciousness. I'm awareness that has the power to choose where to focus my attention. And where I focus it, I experience that. So I create experience. So really what I am is awareness of how I'm choosing to see, what I'm choosing to create. That's all you are, awareness. And that's all. That's what Jeshua is. He's just giving us the straight truth. You get the power to choose your experience. That's how amazing is that? The free will in that. It doesn't matter what's happening, where the body is going. Jeshua continues. Here is where the way of transformation begins. Ultimately, it is also where it ends. But the difference will be that you will no longer even want to choose anything that speaks of limitation. It's a little paragraph. Why will you no longer want to choose anything that speaks of limitation? Because you'll experience it. Why would you want to experience limitation unless you, maybe you want to, but you don't have to. It's that simple. And the powerful word here is choose. You're choosing it. You get to choose. If you feel limited, you're choosing it. On some level, maybe you're not aware, but you're choosing it. So look at your own life with an open heart and innocence and compassion. Look at all these misunderstandings, these beliefs that I bought into from my parents, my culture, from the world at large. Look at all this. Look at how I've just kind of gotten brainwashed by the matrix, by consensus opinion, and then taking ownership. Oh, well, they didn't do it to me. On some level, I chose this. And I want to see what it's like to experience something new. That's the meditation Jeshua gives us in this lesson. I'll read it again. It's earlier on. Hold on, let me find it. It's on the second page of this lesson, an exercise to expand your awareness. I am not what I have perceived myself to be. I am unlimited, pure spirit, and nothing is unavailable to me. Therefore, in this moment, I choose to open access to other dimensions of experience so that I might call this moment to me in a different way. And we practice, and we practice, and we open our mind, and we practice. And we start to experience new things, a different way of living that seems insane to the world. What you're saying is crazy talk, is it? All right, I think we're going to end here today. This was pretty dense. Because tomorrow we kind of move into a new line of thinking. I love this. I love you guys being on this journey, learning, practicing, questioning. It's okay if you struggle with the material. That's you grappling with these things. That's the resistance coming up. But then another part that's like, well, I want to be open to this. It doesn't make sense to my brain, but I want it to be true. Can I be open to it? Can I practice this stuff? Can I use and look at my very daily life to see how this is playing itself out? Jeshua says, don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Apply this stuff in your own life and see if it's true. See what your experience is. Amen to that. We don't need a guru. We don't need a cult, a leader saying, follow me, give up yourself. Jeshua's never said that. This whole message is empowering. You, the kingdom of God is within you. You are the power. You are the choice. You create your experience. All right. If you guys are called to practice this stuff, to really invest in yourself in this way, commit to yourself in this way, to really dedicate. It's a dedication to dedicate your life to applying and studying and learning, and really, again, applying this stuff in your life, consider joining the Living the Way of Mastery program. I think we're going to start a new one in June. It's a year commitment, a lesson a month, daily journaling, daily practices with a group of other committed people. And then we meet twice a month on Zoom, online. We have people all over the world that join to discuss, hey, this is what's happening in this lesson. This is how it's showing up in my life. Or I'm really struggling to see this. How does this lesson, if I create my own experience, apply here in this part of my life where I'm so convinced that it's them, it's them, it's not me, it's them. Look what they're doing. That's why I feel this way, right? And then we talk about it. Maybe we'll do meditations. Maybe I do coaching in this session, whatever it is, to help you shift your experience and shift your perception. And we have a Voxer channel, which is an app where basically it's like WhatsApp, where we communicate almost every day. Every single day, someone's on the Voxer sharing their experience, sharing their journaling, sharing a meditation, sharing an insight, asking a question. If you are ready to change your life, because that's what will happen, guaranteed. If you do this work, it will change your life for the better. 100%. It'll change the way you see yourself. It'll change the way you see the world. You'll have deep, meaningful connections, intimate connections with other people. Imagine what you go through in a whole year, but now you have a group of people going through their own stuff, but in this context, supporting each other, helping each other. You swim in this stuff for a year over and over and over again and applying it. And I coach and guide each of the people, you, if you want it. Man, you'll be more empowered. You'll be more peaceful. You'll be more loving. You'll be more creative. You'll be more courageous. What's possible for you with all those things? This is an invitation. The link is in the show notes. I'm going to encourage you, if you feel called, if you feel curious, if you feel excited about this, lean in. I think there's a link to set up a call with me. We'll have a conversation and talk about what you're wanting, how this program might really serve you and change your life. Thanks for listening. If you get value from the podcast, please like, subscribe, share, give us a good review. If you can on Apple Podcasts, just write a short comment. Thank you so much. And we got the new YouTube channel. And send me an email just saying hello. Hello@revelationbreathwork.com. And I'll say hello back. Love you guys so much. And we'll see you tomorrow.